Welcome, everybody. This is yet another bonus expert master class. Today's topic, podcasting, with my friend Charlie Posnack. Now, when I say my friend, you know, Charlie and I met online through various connections and various other sorts of, you know, the interwebs. And little did we know until we looked at each other's signature file and phone number and other things that we actually live in the same town, which is really, really bizarre. So at this point, Charlie is probably sitting 5 minutes away from where I'm sitting, and I'm sitting 5 minutes away from where he's sitting. So it's a small world. Let me introduce Charlie with no further ado, and then we'll get into our master class slash interrogation. So Charlie Posnack is a podcasting coach, online business consultant, and the founder of the BoomerBusinessOwner.com, a global community that helps baby boomers successfully start their own online businesses. As someone who just turned 50 this year, I am now officially in Charlie's demographic. It's awesome. As the host of the Boomer Business Owner podcast, Charlie interviews some of the world's most successful entrepreneurs and online business influencers. He specializes in helping baby boomers and podcasting newbies, baby boomers and podcasting newbies, create and launch their podcasts through one-on-one coaching and group training. In the first 5 months of the Boomer Business Owner podcast, the show has enjoyed over 25,000 unique downloads and received over 100 five-star reviews in iTunes. Charlie's podcast also consistently ranks as one of the top podcasts in the business careers category on iTunes. So, in the tradition of I don't bring you no junk, here's my pal and podcasting expert, Charlie Posnack.
You're very kind, David. Thanks. It's great to be here.
So, first question, let's just dive right into the interrogation, into the meat. Because some of the folks in our program here, some of the folks that I work with and I teach, and I'm sure some of the folks that you work with and that you coach and that you teach, here's question number one. Charlie, does podcasting fit my business? Does it make sense for me and for the kind of business that I'm in, for my industry, for my target market? How do we go about determining if podcasting is even a fit as far as a marketing and visibility, credibility strategy for whatever business we happen to be in?
Well, my answer to that question would focus on several of the benefits of podcasting. One of them is clearly lead generation. So assuming you have some sort of a platform through which you communicate with your prospective clients and clients, like a blog or website or videos and things like that, podcasting can surely be another arrow in your quiver. It's just another way to disseminate information, David. Some people like to ingest their information in a written format, some like it visually, and some like it auditory. So I believe that if you have a market that you're going after to create content, which is all a podcast is, it's like a spoken blog post, if you will, to create content and provide it in an auditory format, I think would be beneficial for most, if not all, people.
Wow, fantastic. So, and I love what you just said. Boy, that totally demystified it. It's like an audio version. It's like a spoken version of a blog post. So that raises another question. You know, if someone were to get started just thinking about podcasting, and we're going to get into some nitty-gritty, we're going to roll up our sleeves, we're going to get some tips and tricks, but just thinking about podcasting, one of the first questions they might come to mind is, well, you know, just like when they get involved in blogging, they say, well, how long is a blog? You know, how much content do I need to provide? If I want to commit to a blogging schedule, I need to know kind of what's a blog, so I need to commit to a podcasting schedule. Charlie, what's a podcast? Is it 5 minutes? Is it an hour? Is it something in between? How do I decide what, you know, how much content and how frequently and, you know, all those quantitative questions, how much, how long, how do folks address that question?
The answer to your question is yes. A podcast can be 5 minutes. It can be an hour and a half long. Someone in one of my mastermind groups, he literally does, literally, five-minute podcasts. There are five-minute tips. And again, it's his podcasts literally are a spoken version of his blog posts. So it depends on what you're trying to do with the podcast. Again, they could range from 5 minutes. My sense is a sweet spot of podcasts is typically around a half an hour. But there's no magic to that. That's just, you know, a data point in the industry. And there are people who ramble on for well over an hour. So I think it just depends on what you're trying to accomplish with your podcast. Mine is an interview-based podcast. So when you're starting to think about it, you're thinking about, am I doing a podcast myself? Am I Charlie, who is smart about a certain topic or want to talk about a certain topic? Am I just going to be, for lack of a better term, pontificating or sharing my knowledge on the podcast? Or am I going to have an interview podcast where I interview someone on a particular topic? So, you know, all these things go into figuring out how long. It's tough to have a five-minute interview podcast, just like it's probably tough to just sit down and ramble on for an hour and 15 minutes by yourself. So it depends on the format. The length kind of depends on the format. But just think of it as something, you know, you want to do. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to interview somebody, which I highly, highly recommend, even if you want to do individual podcasts yourself, I highly recommend it because it's been the most beneficial part of podcasting for me, David, and I'm happy to talk a little more about that if you'd like. But it's just this whole picture. When I sit down with somebody, it's, you know, what's the duration, like you say, of your podcast? What's the format? What's the topic? You know, why are you doing this? It's all part of that whole decision-making process.
Yeah, and well, so I love what you're doing with the interviews, and I definitely want to go there next. I just want to do a quick correction. When you say rambling for an hour or an hour and 15 minutes, that might be tough. Boy, not for me. That's me. I'm the rambler for like 75 minutes. No one's listening to this podcast. Like nobody. Zero. I got zero listeners because like, oh yeah, talk for an hour. Sure, I'll talk into a black hole for an hour. So let's not do it my way. Let's do it your way, the much smarter way. Tell me how you strategically use interviewing. Why are interviews so powerful? What's the secret kind of marketing and lead generating sauce that the interview strategy has done for you and for your business and for your podcast?
David, it's the most beneficial thing I have ever gotten out of anything I've ever done in business in my entire life. If I called you up out of the blue, and I said, hey, David, I just found you on the internet, and my name is Charlie, and I'm a really good guy, and I would like you to just, you know, block off a half an hour, 45 minutes in your calendar so I could just talk with you. You're a nice guy, David, but chances are you're busy, and your response might be something polite like, Charlie, love to do that at some point in time, can't do it now. So because I have a platform now and I can expose your message, I now have something effectively to offer you in return. So now I have your attention. I tell you it's going to be a 25 or 30 minute call. I'm asking you questions that I have generated that are on behalf of my target market. But since I'm a part of my target market, they're actually questions, David, that I want to ask you. So I am gleaning information from people way smarter and way more successful than me as part of this podcast. Prior to the podcast, I'm doing my best to establish rapport with you so we can have, you know, not only a good podcast, but perhaps an ongoing relationship. And then after the podcast, I can ask you maybe some questions that I might have liked to ask during the podcast, and for whatever reason I didn't do that. I always finish up by saying, David, you know, we'll let you know when this goes live, and I'd appreciate if you and I can keep in touch going forward to see how we may be able to work together. And the responses I've gotten have been incredible. I have hired people that I have interviewed. I have talked to people about joint ventures and working together. David, you know, I'm working together with you right now. I've had an offer from somebody I interviewed who is an author to co-write a book with them. I had somebody who is a very, very successful online marketer who I personally liked. I thought we had a good rapport, thought we had a good relationship, and, you know, hadn't talked to him for the subsequent couple months. And he reached out to me and said, I was just thinking about you. I really love your website. You know, who did your website? And he basically offered to be an informal mentor to me. He said, I charge $1,000 an hour for my time. You don't need that, Charlie. Once a month, just reach out to me via Skype. I've gotten to be guests on other podcasts from my interviewees. I've created mastermind groups. We talk a lot on my podcast, David, about mastermind groups, and I'm surrounding myself with like-minded people who are more than likely more successful than me. So, and this, all these people in my masterminds are people that I've interviewed. There's free consulting that people have offered me. And my last example here of a benefit is I was talking to this gentleman, and he is a webinar expert, and he has a $3,000 course on webinars. And I said, you know, I'm just starting to do webinars. Tell me a little about your course. And he said to me, Charlie, I really appreciate your interviewing me. I'm going to give you complimentary access to my course. I mean, I suppose I can go down the list of all the people I interviewed, David, and go on and on, but I think that's a great representation of some of the benefits that I've gotten from doing an interview-based podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Well, and you know, we could just stop the recording right here. Don't worry, we won't. But we could just stop the recording right here. Everyone hang up the phone, although you don't really know how to do or start or launch a podcast yet, so we'll talk about that next. But you could say, okay, every prospect, every executive, every joint venture partner who's on my wish list and on my dream list, if there's no other reason to start a podcast other than what Charlie just said, that's reason enough to make this a major, major, major part of your marketing mix. And let's not forget, I love the way you also teed this up. This is the most powerful, most effective, smartest thing I've ever done in business, is what Charlie just said. And wow. So think about every, and again, just correct me if I'm wrong here as I'm ranting here, Charlie, because this is, you know, this is my podcast that I said I would not be doing, which is me ranting for 75 minutes. Does this work? So you and I are in the entrepreneur space, right? You work with and you coach, you know, entrepreneurs, small business owners, boomer business owners on how to leverage podcasting and how to grow their business. I work with entrepreneurs as well. If we were selling into corporate America, if we were selling executives, wouldn't this be even more effective? Because then you could invite those corporate executives onto your podcast. And I think they love to hear themselves talk even more so than most entrepreneurs. And now you're getting access to the C-suite. You're getting access to those vice presidents, the VP of sales, the VP of marketing, the CEO, the CIO, the CFO of any company, anywhere on the planet, and you're now a media inquiry, you're not a sales call.
And to further put a finer point on that, David, if I came to you, again, me, Charlie, and said, hey, David, can you give me a couple reasons about why I should write a book? I'm sure you would say, well, Charlie, it's your calling card. It establishes your credibility. When you're going into the C-suite or the corporations, you show them this, and now you're for real. Well, dude, I got a podcast. I got a radio show. I'm a talk show host, if you will. I have a platform, just like the book is a platform. It's just another way to present yourself, another way to reinforce your credibility.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so just to give you a flavor, and we talked about this a little bit in our preparation, you know, but any small business owner, medium-sized business owner, so even the folks that you know, we're talking with today, web designers, graphic designers, financial advisors, people who are in the home healthcare industry, folks who are in, you know, service businesses, product businesses, is there any place where this strategy doesn't fit?
I can't think of any way, because it depends, depending on who your market is, might affect how you want to do it. You might want to have a total interview podcast. You might want to have a podcast that's part interview and part you talking. You might want to have a podcast, you know, kind of where it's just you. It just depends, I guess. I would sit down and brainstorm or strategize with someone, because that's the key thing. You say, okay, I want a podcast. Well, then what does that look like? And I think that's the question you're asking. I can't imagine a situation where it wouldn't benefit you. It's just, you know, how is the best way to present that so it does benefit you the most?
Gotcha. Okay, so now we're excited. Now we're fired up, and we want the podcast sort of blueprint or game plan, or, you know, what do we think about and what questions do we ask first? What do we ask second? I'm sure people have kind of technology and gadget questions about, you know, what kind of microphone and all that kind of technical nitty-gritty stuff. But even before we get to that, thinking big picture, like you just said, what is that strategic thinking? You know, walk us through the first couple of questions that you might ask someone that you're working with or that's in your group training programs.
Sure. I think you definitely want to I kind of break down podcasting. You could do as many steps as you want, but just conceptually, I say we want to talk about the planning and prep for the podcast, which is what we'll discuss in a moment. We want to talk about the stuff, you know, the hardware, the software, the services. Assuming you're going to do an interview podcast, you know, all the things that lead up to the interview, and then the kind of more technical or mechanical stuff you need to do after the interview. So your question started with, you know, the planning and prep, which is number one, kind of create your topic. What are you passionate about? What do you like learning about? What do you like talking about? Who do you like talking to? I like talking to C-suite marketing people. Okay, great. You know, that's a great little tidbit to know when we're creating the topic of the podcast, the topic. Defining your niche, you know, who specifically do you want to talk with? I want to talk with, you know, C-suite marketing people from firms with $50 to $250 million in sales. As much as you could be definitive on who your market is, that would be great. Your avatar, you know, the type of person that you want to do this on behalf of, coming up with a name for your podcast. And as we spoke a little bit earlier, I guess one of the key things in the planning and prep is your format. So do you want to do an audio podcast? And some people do a video podcast as well. They do a video and then they separate out the audio. Do you want to do interview or topic-based? Do you want to self-host it, or do you want to have a co-host as well? That's something we didn't talk about earlier. And then obviously, you know, length and frequency. So they're the kind of things that I would talk about, is that they're for me a part of the planning or prep stage. By the way, I'm hoping to demystify podcasting. It's really not rocket science. Anybody on this call, I'm sure, can go on YouTube and get some training and information and kind of figure out how to do it themselves. It probably, just like someone would hire a life coach or a business coach, it probably pays to have someone to kind of get you through just a lot of the little bumps and things like that. But this is nothing that anyone can't do on their own.
Fantastic. Wow. So let's start, let's kind of go down that path then. So you mentioned that the planning stage is first, and then kind of walk us through how that would roll out and sort of what the recommended sequence is if we're serious about thinking about doing this.
Well, actually, I'm just, you know, going to more slowly reiterate sort of what I just said. So we're going to think about, you know, what is the topic of your podcast? I mean, do you want to use a certain example, David? Do you want to give me an example and we could talk that through? Would that be
sure?
Better?
Well, let's use, just for the sake of, you know, kind of finding something that I think is universally applicable to any sort of, you know, service business at least. How about a financial advisor practice?
So you run a financial, I'm talking to you, David, you run a financial advisor practice.
I do, hugely successful.
Hugely, I wouldn't think of anything else. So we're going to talk to you, and you're thinking about starting a podcast.
Right.
So you're passionate, you enjoy financial planning, and you enjoy talking with people about that.
I do.
So you want to impart your information and use this as a credibility-building platform or to further reinforce your credibility to your perhaps existing clients but also to prospective clients.
Yes.
So I'd start to think there's plenty of stuff you could talk about, but are there other experts that you can bring in?
Tons.
People talking about different subjects related
Absolutely.
To financial planning.
Yep.
Do you want an insurance person to be talking? There's plenty of different insurance people. Do you want somebody talking about hedge funds just to help demystify hedge funds? Maybe there are other things. Maybe your clientele is a baby boomer clientele, and maybe you want to add value to them outside of the financial planning area. Maybe you bring kind of health and fitness people on there, like, hey, by being a customer of mine, by being a client of mine, I care about you. I really do. I care about your financial thing, but I care about you as a whole, as a person. And I want to add some value, and I'm going to
bring you. Wow, no, that is so fantastic. Right, and so that's when you talk about that listener, that buyer persona, you know, my term for that is buyer persona, and you use this different fabulous term, which is the same thing, that sort of, that ideal listener. Above and beyond your expertise, so just as you recommended to me, above and beyond financial topics, what is that same buyer persona really interested in? What are their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, their fears, their heartaches, their headaches, their challenges? Now, you don't want to be a jack of all trades. You don't want to have like a variety show or, you know, become Oprah where you'll talk to anybody about anything. But at the same time, there are going to be adjacent areas of expertise where you could be massively helpful to people, and I think mix up the variety of your show and add some depth and add some perspective. And you don't always want to be talking, right? You don't want to drive that rut about, you know, okay, this guy's like blah, 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 more of the same, more of the same. You want people to keep coming back, and you want them to be intrigued and interested in, oh, what does Charlie have for us this week? It may be something around his core expertise, or it may be a fabulous guest that's in some adjacent area that, you know what, I'm probably going to be interested in.
All about adding value, David. How can you further add value to your customer, your prospective customers?
Fantastic. Now, let me ask you this, because I've got a lot of folks that, you know, sign on for these what I think are very expensive platforms, whether it's Voice America or, you know, any of these people that are happy to take $500, $1,000, $2,000, whatever, and say, oh, well, you can be on our network. And, of course, everything is still up to you. The only thing that's not up to you is the ads, because the ads, they monetize and they make money from, and they make money from the show host. How do we not get ripped off? How do we kind of do this right? And as you said, hire the right people. You know, if they need a coach, obviously Charlie has coaching services available. If they need training, I know, Charlie, you have this fabulous training program that we'll share with folks later on. But even above and beyond that, you know, there it's like a shark tank out there. Someone says, I want to do podcasting, just like someone says, I want to be an author. Man, there is an army of consultants and services and software who are just waiting with the sheep shears going, and they're waiting to take your money because you want to do podcasting. How do we invest wisely and don't get ripped off and don't get burned by all these unnecessary expenses?
There's kind of two questions there that I want to address. So one is just the concept of a platform. So Blog Talk Radio, or I think you mentioned Voice America, these people are offering you a platform. They're offering you an infrastructure and a platform through which you can disseminate your information. Are there people that go on Blog Talk Radio and do a search on financial planning podcasts? Probably. There are about 575 million active subscribers on iTunes. Think of iTunes as a big search engine for people who are looking for information about podcasting. So when you think about platform, I don't know that you need to spend the money for someone who's created this pre-existing platform for you, because it's so easy to use iTunes platform and the infrastructure that they have set up for you. It's quite easy and quite non-threatening to set that whole thing up yourself. And the second point is about, kind of making sure you don't get sheared. What I like to say when people talk to me about, hey, can you help me, whether it's through a course or coaching, I say, you know, if my coaching doesn't pay for itself, you shouldn't be hiring me. The money that I'm going to save you, the time that I'm going to save you for the relatively little bit that you're paying me is well worth it. It's well worth it instead of you trying to agonize over, what kind of microphone do I get? Do I get this thing with the boom arm? And how, you know, I got to get this mixer, and I got to plug this in. How do I do this? Do you want to know what I did, David? I went to Amazon. I bought a microphone, a USB microphone, so it plugs right into my computer. It cost me $100.
Yep. Same
so
here.
There's my microphone set up. Bang, boom. And then I don't know anything about audio recording. And you know what, David? I don't want to know anything about audio recording. I don't want to know anything about audio editing. You could do it yourself. Most people do. So what did I do? I went on Elance. And I hired, I think it was eight different people, eight different audio engineers who responded to my ad. I hired them each for an hour, which cost me, on the low end, it was like $20 an hour. One guy, I think, charged me $50 an hour. So I probably invested a little over $100. I picked their brain. I narrowed it down to a couple of people. One guy, I did a screen share with him, and he showed me how to set up the volumes and things on my microphone and my recording software. Boom. And another guy I hired to do all my editing. And I pay him $17 an episode. So when I'm done with recording my episode with you, David, I send it to him. He adds my intro and outro. He adjusts the audio levels. Takes out any mistakes and things like that, and sends me back the file. I mean, it's really not much more difficult than that. How, having said that, though, if all you knew was somebody who's banging on your door from Blog Talk Radio, they're probably going to say, well, we have the whole infrastructure set up, and we have your microphone, how you call in, how you do this. It really is not that difficult, David.
Gotcha. Absolutely. Well, I also want to go back to when you and I were having lunch here in Bryn Mawr. And I told you that, because you asked me very kindly and very generously, hey, David, if I can be helpful to you, you know, do you have a podcast? How's your podcast doing? I said, yeah, I have a podcast. It's out there, and it's, and I was kind of blasé about it. And your recommendation to me was, dude, blow it up, start from scratch, relaunch, because you have a whole launch strategy. I know we don't have time, obviously, to go into everything that you teach about that successful podcast launch strategy and how to, you know, go big and get in the top 10 in your category and be new and featured in iTunes. But give us just kind of a quick sketch. If I were to blow my podcast up and start from scratch, or if someone's starting the right way, unlike me, the way that you teach people to start the right way, what's that? Give us the kind of high-level overview of that podcast launch strategy so that people know it's not just recorded and they will come.
So go back to iTunes is a search engine. And one of the benefits is kind of interesting. People say, I start a blog, but, I still have to get people there. How do people find out about it? And I say, you start a podcast. Well, how do people find out about it? Well, the little trick here is that iTunes wants people to find out about you. They want to support podcasters, reinforce podcasters. So from the day you launch on iTunes, iTunes gives you 8 weeks to be in their new and noteworthy category. So if you just go to iTunes and search on podcast, whatever category, business, education, there's a new and noteworthy. And people are trained to know these are new podcasts that have come up and then see if they want to check it out. So that's exposing you to a global audience. I currently have people who've downloaded my podcast from, I think it's 72 different countries, some more than others, obviously. But that gives you, great exposure. So then that begs the question, how do you get into iTunes new and noteworthy? Because every podcast doesn't necessarily make it in there. And that's the conversation about, ratings and reviews. iTunes really likes to see ratings and reviews. They like to see people subscribing to your podcast. You probably want to launch. What I teach people is you want to launch before you launch. The day you launch, you want to have the number of episodes. You want to have a month's worth of episodes. So if you're going to do one episode a week, you want to have 4 episodes, a month's worth of episodes, plus 3 to start off with. So you want to have 7 episodes in the can the day you launch, because the day you launch, you want to launch with 3 episodes, and then every subsequently you'll do that, but you want to keep yourself ahead so you're not always behind the curve and having to do something this week. I'm right now about, I'm a little too far ahead. I'm about 10 or 11 weeks ahead right now. I just released podcast episode 131 today, and I just finished recording 215 earlier this week. And I do a daily podcast 7 days a week. So little tips like that about, you know, encouraging people, maybe sending out an email to your friends and family, your Facebook people, your LinkedIn people, hey, will you take a look at my podcast? Will you give a rating or review? It really makes a big difference in getting you solidly and staying in New and Noteworthy for 8 weeks. If I said to you, David, your new blog or your new website, I'm going to have this on Google's front page. When somebody goes to search for something, there's going to be a new blog area there, and you're going to be in there. You know, you want to do what you need to do to get in there and stay in there for the 8 weeks.
Wow. And what's the criteria? What does iTunes use to keep you in New and Noteworthy for the 8 weeks?
They want to see downloads of your episode. They want to see people, you know, coming to your episode. They want to see a consistent release of your episodes. They want to see people subscribing to your episodes. This is the best we've been able to kind of gather. What their algorithm is, who the heck knows?
Sure.
Because I've seen people that have fewer reviews, higher than me on iTunes, but maybe they have more subscribers than I do, or maybe they have more downloads. So it's just this methodology. But from what I was taught by my mentor, who's John Dumas, who's arguably one of the more successful podcasters in the world, you know, that's what I teach people. And what he's taught me has served me well, and I see that on an ongoing basis from the other people he teaches as well.
Now, podcasting, and I want to go back to one of the first things you said about podcasting as lead generation. And what we spent a lot of time talking about, and what I think everyone's excited about, is podcasting as a relationship building tool. And some of those relationships might be with prospects and friendships, and as you said, mastermind partners and joint venture partners. Talk a little bit more about when you say lead generation, like just straight up, lead generation, prospecting, putting people into some kind of marketing or sales funnel. How does that work? How does that come about?
So it comes about for me primarily through the intro and the outro. So prior to the actual recording, I hired a voiceover person. His name is Tim Page. He's just spectacular. And he'll say, hey, welcome to – you can listen to my podcast after you're done this call. Hey, welcome to the Boomer Business Owner podcast where Charlie Posnick talks about blah, 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 blah. And then in the outro is where you probably want to have your call to action. My call to action is, now that you've listened to this episode, take some action, go to theboomerbusinessowner.com and sign up for your free 20-minute consultation with Charlie. That's a lead generation mechanism. You could say, go to, you know, xyz.com and get our free ebook about 20 different ways to make your website look better. You know, you want to build your email list. So however your sales funnel is set up, it could be a lead generation tool to get people there.
Wow, fantastic. So it's really about that call to action. And again, the call to action could be subscribe, download the special goodie from the website, opt into this, you know, sign up for your free consultation. Let's go down the free consultation path for a quick moment.
Mm-hmm.
So someone takes action and they send you an email or they click through and they want their 20 minutes with Charlie. Give us and I know this is a marketing topic, it's not a podcasting topic, but it's so tightly related to lead generating via podcasting. Walk us through how you conduct that 20-minute consultation. What questions do you ask? How do you have that enrollment conversation or ask the enrollment question about, you know, would you like to coach with me? Would you like to take my course? You know, kind of how do you make the offer? Or just tell me how do you run that whole 20-minute consultation?
It's a great question, and I am probably a poor example of how it should be done. When I do that, I guess my gut desire is, you know, when I see this guy David signing up for the free consultation, I want to hear your voice, David. I want to talk with you. I want to help you as much as I can. And I try to use it for market research also as much as trying to close you on something. I really don't try to close people on something because a lot of people who call, they may want some service that I think somebody else would be better to help them with. And I will refer them out to somebody.
Yeah.
To briefly digress for one moment, we were talking earlier about, you know, this is a way to disseminate your information via audio. And other benefits of having your information disseminated via audio is it's much more portable. You know, people can listen to you while they're running, while they're working out, while they're in the car. And it also, it puts you in their ear, and it gives you this relationship that the written word doesn't give you. And the example is the last person who signed up for a free 20-minute consultation, we'll call him John, I call the person at the predetermined time, and I say, hey, John, it's Charlie. I'm calling for our, you know, 20-minute consultation. The first words out of his mouth, David, were, there's that voice.
Ah, fantastic.
So I've bonded with him on some level, and I'm saying, well, Raj, you know, why did you call? What do you do? Tell me. And his name is Raj, actually. Well, why did you call? Tell me. So he was explaining to me that he's a physical therapist, and he wants to take his business more online, kind of shift from trading time for dollars to maybe developing different courses and funnels and things like that. And quite frankly, from what he was saying, I thought he would be better served with one of my colleagues. I actually referred him to three or four different people and said, talk to these people. I made the introduction, and one of them will probably be able to help you probably a little bit better than me in this particular circumstance. And I think he appreciated that I wasn't there to sell him something. Not that it's bad to have a predefined call about what you sell, but, you know, my focus is more on podcasting than online business. But if I can't help them with online business, I could surely refer them out.
Yeah. So, I mean, really that call is – It's not really a sales call. It's an exploratory call to A, see if they're a fit at all or not, and then B, whether they are or not, to be as helpful and as generous as you possibly can, whether they're a prospect for you or not.
For me, that is absolutely correct. And for somebody else who's listening to this, it doesn't have to be that way. You can have this defined thing that you want to sell the person. This defined way you want to put them, this is the way you're putting them into the funnel, and the purpose of them calling you is you want them to take your $197 course because that's the first thing in the funnel, and then you can hopefully build a relationship with them afterwards.
Right. Wow, so that's really huge. All right, well, let me flip this over to you now, Charlie. What else should I be asking that I have not asked, or what else does, you know, kind of the total podcasting newbie, the person who's not even sure what podcasting was until they heard our interrogation conversation here today, what are some of the other basic building blocks that you'd like to share before we open it up for Q&A?
Well, I say to people that there's basically, you know, three options if you want a podcast. And the first option is basically done by you. The second is done for you. And the third is done with you. So from a done by you standpoint, again, there's a lot of great free resources. There's a guy named Pat Flynn who on YouTube has spectacular free videos on setting up a podcast. Cliff Ravenscraft, who's known as the Podcast Answer Man. Again, great free videos on there. There's podcasting Facebook groups where you can meet a lot of good people, learn a lot. And then, you know, my mentor, John Dumas, he has this thing called Podcaster's Paradise. It's about $1,200. It's a one-time fee. But, again, I'm a member of that. Anything you'd ever want to know about podcasting, assuming that you want to do this more or less by yourself. And again, Podcaster's Paradise has like a forum or a Facebook group where you can, you know, so to speak, get some help. But at the end of the day, you're taking responsibility for doing it yourself. The other option or the next option is having somebody do it for you. So my buddy Ben over at Authority Engine, he will actually do everything for you. Let me repeat that. He will do everything for you. The only thing you have to do is record the episode. He will take you through this whole process I was talking about, you know, your avatar and your target market and your audience. He'll talk about the equipment. He'll do all the audio editing. He can do, you know, social media, getting it posted, all that kind of stuff. All you have to do. That is surely not free. And if you're doing, you know, one podcast a week, I mean, I don't know what he charges. I want to just say it's like a couple hundred bucks a podcast or something like that. So it could be worth it for you to do that. If you're doing a daily podcast like me, you know, I couldn't afford to have them do that. And the last option is, you know, done with you. So, you know, have somebody be your consultant, take a kind of training course, if you will, where you have some interaction there to have somebody help you do it. It's really not rocket science, and if you've never done it before, it might as well be rocket science until somebody shows you, look, this is simply what you need to do. This is the podcast host you should be using. You know, these are a couple different microphones. Just make a choice and do it. Stop agonizing over this. Just take some action and get started.
Well, and let me go even one step further, because I get this a lot with marketing and with, you know, sales and with all kinds of things that people say, well, you know, should I buy this PR program that's a few thousand dollars a month? Should I buy this very expensive sales training? I'm like, well, now you don't even know what you're buying. So even if someone wants the done for you, or wants to hire a virtual assistant, or maybe has a team, my recommendation, the totally blatant promotion, because I believe in Charlie and what he does and what he teaches, I think for you to be an educated consumer, you need the training. You just go through the training, go through the course, understand what it is that you're outsourcing. Understand that it takes 5 minutes to upload something to iTunes, not 3 hours. Understand that you know, when you're editing, you know, it's a few clicks of a mouse, and if you can use Microsoft Word, you can probably edit in some simple audio editing software. So someone says, well, it'll be $300 to edit your podcast. You're like, no, it'll be $17 to edit my podcast. Thank you very much. But until you know, it's almost like any other function of your business, right? You cannot outsource your accounting or your bookkeeping if you don't know how to keep your own books, because you'll be swindled, you'll be ripped off, you'll be ignorant. You've abdicated your control as an entrepreneur, as an executive, as a business owner, as a salesperson, as a marketer. So you absolutely need to be educated. Once you're educated, once you kind of know the ropes a little bit, and you go, okay, I'm not going to spend my time that way. You know, now I know what's involved. I've gotten some training. I've gotten some coaching. I've learned it. I've now learned enough about it to know that I don't want to spend my time that way. Now, from an educated perspective, you can do all the things that Charlie's recommending. Find the people on Elance. Find the audio people. Find the editing people. Find the virtual assistant. But now you'll know exactly what they're doing and exactly what you're buying, and you're not going to be quite so susceptible to being ripped off and scammed. And as Charlie and I both talk about, the sheep shears, you know, you're not going to be sheared like a little lamb. So I say learn it, even if you're in the done for you or done with you category. You do not need to be a do-it-yourself person, but I would totally work with Charlie on this if you're at all interested pursuing this. So Charlie, tell folks, again, before we open it up for a little bit of Q&A, kind of back and forth, best ways for folks to stay in touch with you, website, obviously the podcast, any programs you've got coming up, or just URLs where people can tap into your genius.
It all happens at the home base, which is the, boomerbusinessowner.com. So everything will be on there. You can listen to podcasts on there. You can read blog posts on there. My phone number's on there. My email address is on there. Courses, we're probably going to have our next course, I would say maybe the end of July. So that's going to be posted on there. Just any kind of general information you want will be on there. That's the best way to reach out to me. Call me, email me, whatever you want to do.
Fantastic. Now, do you also have an email newsletter?
We do have an email list. That's correct, yes. And we do send out an email probably once a week to touch base, you know, maybe with a couple different podcast episodes, just to let people know we're thinking about them and communicating with them. And that can be had or accessed via the website as well.
Okay, perfect. So folks can get a – and this I'm recommending this for all of our experts in these bonus master classes and in these interrogations. Even if you think right now that you don't have any interest in pursuing speaking, So we talked to my buddy Avish Parashar yesterday about speaking. We're talking to Charlie today about podcasting. Even if you don't think that's necessarily for you, I would recommend opting into their world. Just sign up, you know, listen to a few podcast episodes, sign up for Charlie's newsletter, simply to get a front row seat to how a really smart marketer, a really savvy marketer, combines the marketing messages and the sales messages with the value messages. And Charlie, I know you're masterful at that. I think all of our expert faculty are masterful at it. I try and be masterful at it. But it's, you know, very much worth, you know, subscribing and opting in and just taking that front row seat to what some of our experts are doing, simply so that you can learn from what they're doing, model what they're doing, and apply it to your world, whether you're a direct prospect for them or not. I sign up for all kinds of things just because the topic might not be of interest or great relevance to me in some other arenas, but I know that, man, this person's a great marketer. They know how to write an email. They've got great subject lines. I love their offers. Totally not for me, right? I'm probably not even a prospect for them, but as a student of marketing, I love that stuff, and it's my swipe file, and I can steal and borrow and adapt things from it, and it's a huge free education.
Agreed, and I do the same thing. I'm quite fond of a gentleman named Neil Patel. We kind of model a lot of our emails after him because he does. You know, I open his emails, so you know.
Absolutely. Well, good. So let's do this. We've got a few folks here on the call. I'm sure they've got questions. If they don't have questions, I've got more questions on behalf of you know, all of our folks. But let's open it up. Feel free to *6. To unmute your line, and what podcasting questions do you have for Charlie?
Hey, Charlie, this is Joe. Do you have a second?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe.
Hey, thanks. You know, this is kind of crazy. I actually put up my second episode of a podcast yesterday, not without a great deal of consternation and hand-wringing. My question to you is, well, two. A, is it, if I jump the shark and should I pull them down before I have, you know, 7 or 8 more down so I can get in the new and noteworthy? And then second, more practically, do you have a particular host that you prefer?
If you want to take advantage of new and noteworthy and you haven't done some of the planning we talked about and you've only released your second episode, I might be inclined to pull the plug. And by far, the definitive podcast hosting service is Libsyn. It's the one I use. It's the one anybody who I know uses, Libsyn. And their plan started, I think, $5 or $7 a month. Again, I do 30 episodes a month, so I'm on their $40 a month plan. But, you know, for whatever, $5 to $40, somewhere in there, depending, again, on the length and the number of episodes, well worth it. They're just, you know, it's a seamless situation. It's just great. And there's some great videos. You can go on YouTube and see videos. Just people post videos how to use Libsyn, how to upload something to Libsyn. It's very user-friendly, and they're very podcast-friendly.
And so the question is, after I've figured out how to put it up, what do you need to do to kill it? Do you have any idea?
On iTunes?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. I mean, by killing the feed, obviously you're not going to be updating it, but I guess it begs the question of how do you get that out of iTunes, assuming you want to get it out of iTunes, which
right.
I would probably email iTunes to find that out. So, yeah, by killing the feed, you're not updating it anymore, but if you want to remove that. Now, having said that, it's kind of like, you know, a website. If you couldn't remove a website and just decide to kill your website and start another one, it just would be lingering there kind of in cyberspace, which is probably what's going to happen to your current podcast podcast you have up there.
Okay. All right. I'll look into it. Thanks. If you come across something, drop Dave a note or post it somewhere. Thanks.
Yeah, out of curiosity, Joe, what is the subject of your podcast?
I'm in a non-medical senior care business, so what I'm trying to do is leverage the work I do on my blogs and sort of convert it loosely to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it varies. All sorts of generally family caregiver tips and tricks and that sort of thing.
Got it. And you're doing this yourself versus, you know, interviewing other people in the area.
Yeah, at the moment I am, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hopefully, you know, some of the stuff we talked about as far as the benefits of doing it, at least interspersing an interview from time to time, might ring true and could be something that could be very helpful to you as well. And just in your networking, you know, again, people you want to talk with, people you want to network, it's going to benefit you over and above what you're doing directly with your podcast.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Just hadn't gone that way yet, but I have that underlined and highlighted in my notes.
Cool.
Thanks.
Excellent. Really good discussion there. Other questions? Who else has a question about anything we talked about today, podcasting in general?
My boyish good looks.
Yes. hair styling tips from David and Charlie. That's what you guys really want.
There you go.
How do we keep so well coiffed? How about Michael Gidlewski? Go ahead and *6 to unmute if you have a question, a comment, a complaint, a pet peeve, a deli request. What do you got?
I have a deli request.
Ham and cheese, slide of coleslaw.
Corned beef.
Very nice. Very nice. What's your question, my friend?
I don't have one. It's a great webcast, though. I'm very interested in podcasting, so I mean a great conference call.
So let me ask, because I know, well, you're welcome, and thank you, Mike, for saying that. Hugely appreciated. Now, you do, I want to pose Charlie a hypothetical question based on Michael's real-life situation. He's put a lot of money into his website. He does this video. He does a lot of video newsletters. He does a lot of other kinds of marketing, direct mail and so forth. If you're already doing a lot of things, and some of those things, are working better than others, how does podcasting fit, or you know, do we just add podcasting on top of everything, or do we substitute, do we stop doing something to make room and make bandwidth for podcasting? Or Charlie, what's your advice there if someone's doing some videos, has a good website, they're already blogging, they're doing some direct mail, might not be getting the results that they want from all of that, but how do you sort of unpack the crazy and figure out, you know, where does podcasting fit and how will it not just be another thing that I'm quote-unquote doing that's not generating results?
That was the perfect question, David. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
I guess the first thing I would say is I'd go back to the fact that what you're doing, Mike, right now, it doesn't sound like anything is, you know, allowing people to ingest the content auditorily. So if someone prefers to hear something versus read it or watch it, you know, they don't have that option with you right now. And then just, you know, further, the flexibility that gives them. Maybe they say, geez, Mike's got great blog posts. I never have time to read them. Well, maybe if they could listen to those blog posts while they're at the gym, they might be ingesting more of your content. So, you know, we don't know the answer to that question, but the fact is that some people prefer to ingest information in different ways than others. So that's one thing I would say. And, you know, podcasting, it's not like, I mean, you could do a podcast for the sake of doing a podcast, but it's the same thing of saying, all right, I've started a website and I have a blog, now should I start doing video? I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't start doing video. Do you like doing video? Do you like being on camera? Flips over the question, do you think you'd like, you know, talking with people or doing an interview show? You know, is it very time-consuming, the video? How time-consuming is the podcast going to be? So I don't know if there's any real keys as to determining, well, should I supplant half of my direct mail budget with podcasting? It's just, you know, if you have the bandwidth, if you have the time, I don't really think it's a real, you know, cost, real big investment. You know, you might want to do it and give it a shot and see what kind of feedback you're getting. If after a few months, you know, you could measure it like anything else. Put a call to action in your podcast. If it's not, you know, sending people to your website or having to do what you want to do, you know, kill it. it's not like you're going to invest $20,000 to do a podcast and then kill it. I mean, people have asked me this question. I have to actually sit down and put pencil to paper and answer the question, how much would it cost to start the podcast? You know, putting training aside for a second, or let's just say you invested $1,000 in training, you know, the actual hard cost, if you have a website to do podcasting, I mean, it's probably measured in the hundreds of dollars. It's just a de minimis amount for the majority of people. You have the microphone, you have a minor cost on a monthly basis for your podcast host. If you're doing interviews, you probably want some scheduling software. I pay $19 a month. My recording software goes a one-time $15. The ID3 editor to tag your files so that it shows up appropriately on iTunes costs like $15. I mean, it's really not a huge investment. Again, training aside, maybe you could spend a couple thousand dollars on training or $1,000 or several hundred dollars, but that aside, the actual cost is fairly minimal. So I would say if you have the time and the bandwidth, give it a shot.
So let me give Charlie a sound. Go ahead.
So I agree with you, and I definitely like the idea of podcasting. I speak for a living, so that's easy to do. How easy is it for people to actually download it and listen to it later or whatever?
iTunes has a free podcast app. It's a little purple app, and you can go. Somebody who's familiar with iTunes, you just go in iTunes. You see an episode you want, you can click on the subscribe button, and every time a new episode comes, it's automatically subscribed to their phone. So all they need to do is go to that podcast app, and they could listen to any of the podcasts they subscribe to. They could come to your website. The plugin you want to use is called PowerPress. It's a free plugin, and that will
PowerPress,
PowerPress plugin. And it's manufactured by a company called Blueberry without the E. So B-L-U-B-E-R-R-Y or B-R-R-Y. I think maybe there's no E's in there. But it's the PowerPress plugin. It's free. So, and you go to my website, look at one of my podcasts, you'll see what it looks like. You can customize the colors. So it's easy for them to go to your website, send them there to do that.
If you have Android and you have Google Music, can you still access iTunes?
I'm not an Android guy, so I really can't give you an educated answer to that question.
All right. Thank you.
Surely.
So here's a closing soundbite from me, and I'd love to get a closing soundbite from Charlie as well. But I've got some free consulting for Michael. I've got a closing soundbite for everybody. Then I want to throw it over to Charlie for some closing thoughts and kind of wrap things up. So the soundbite that I share with people all the time, but I think Charlie is so brilliant at illustrating and teaching and coaching folks how to do this, rather than focus on getting media, focus on becoming the media. And if you become a podcast host, you are becoming the media. You are the media, and you get the opportunity to shine the spotlight on others. You become an influencer. You build the platform, as Charlie was talking about, to invite other people onto your platform. So there's the soundbite of the day. Forget about getting more media, or getting media, getting PR, getting publicity. You be the media. And that's going to be your ticket to the platform and the magnetism and the visibility and credibility. Number two for my buddy Michael Gidlewski, Achievement Unlimited. Website is achievable.com. I have your podcast. I'm ready to go. This is your million-dollar idea. I hope you're listening. You are going to create the Achievers Podcast. It's the Achievers Show. It's the Achievers Podcast. On that show, you are going to interview the CEOs and the presidents and the business owners that you would love to do business with, and this becomes your entire prospecting strategy and your platform and the way to bring the Mikey G to the world.
Thank you, sir.
It's pretty the Achievers
good.
Show with Michael Gidlewski. I'll even do your voiceover. Welcome to the Achievers Show with Michael Gidlewski. And we'll have like a big, you know, we'll do like the big NFL sports thing in the background with the big trumpets, and it's going to be crazy, dude. Elephants will be coming in. It'll be awesome. And then we'll sign up for Charlie's training, and you'll be ready to rock.
Awesome.
So that's the game plan. All right, my friend Charlie Posnick, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Let me throw it over to you for some closing thoughts, closing words of wisdom, anything else that you'd like us to sort of end the show on.
Yeah, if you're at all, if you're at all interested in podcasting, the last thing you want to do is be afraid of the technology. I'm happy, David, that you brought up earlier in the conversation about the different platforms that are out there. You know, start your own radio show, pay us $500 a month. Not being intimately familiar with all those platforms, the way that podcasters kind of do it today, the way I do it, just on iTunes, I think makes a lot more sense. It's a lot more cost effective, and you know, just I would. It's kind of a self-serving comment, but even if you don't like the sound of my voice, I'm happy. Email me, and I'll put you in touch with somebody else who can help you out, some kind of a business coach or podcast coach. But, you know, have somebody like a tour guide get you through all the little things. It's not difficult, but if you haven't been there, it's might as well be Greek sometimes. But to have somebody say, just do this, do that, do that, do this, this is what you want. You know, I'm not a I don't position myself as a podcasting expert. Well, you know, I could talk to you about 47 different kinds of microphones and mixers and how you do this. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, David, but I don't really give a shit about that. You know,
there you go.
I just want you to, you know, have a good podcast. What I am good at, what I can do, is help someone successfully start a podcast, get it in iTunes, and, you know, from there, it's a matter of where you want to take it.
Fantastic. Let me do a closing thought on your closing thought, because you just said something really super important. Unlike a lot of things in marketing and unlike a lot of things in business, where it's easy to get started, but it's difficult to continue. So I would say, for example, the speaking business, right? Speakers, consultants, people that do presentations. That's a very easy business to get into, very easy to start. And it's almost impossible to be successful in. And so ongoing, it's very challenging. Same thing with writing a book. Writing a book or publishing a book, it's very easy to start the writing process for your book. It's very easy, believe it or not, it's even very easy to finish the book and have the book out there. The book marketing, that's a jungle, and that's very difficult. Podcasting is the opposite. So because it's very difficult at the beginning. It is, trust me, I've done this a couple of times. I've done it right. I've done it wrong. I've done it with a whole degrees of wrong. And you know, Charlie knows how wrong I've done it most recently. But anyway, it's very, very, very difficult to get started if you're a babe in the woods. Once someone like Charlie shows you and teaches you and says, pay attention to this, don't pay attention to that. Here's how you do this, don't worry about doing that. Once you learn the ropes, unlike all those other things I mentioned, podcasting is fairly challenging to get started in, and you do need some help and some training, but it's very easy to keep going with it. Once you've mastered the technology and you've systematized some of these things, it's now talking to a microphone. You know, hit record, hit stop, hit save, send that to your person. You're done. So just think about it that way. Podcasting is kind of a different animal. A lot of things that we're used to doing in marketing and sales and business development, very easy to start, challenging to continue and to have success. This is the opposite. This is hard at the beginning, and it's fairly easy to continue once you have that momentum and once you're rolling. Am I right, Charlie, about that?
I concur.
Fantastic. That's the right answer because, of course, this is the David Newman Show. No, I'm kidding. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Charlie Posnick. Make sure to, you know, follow up with all the fabulous recommendations and resources and tips that Charlie shared. And we will see everyone next time. And Charlie, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's been my pleasure, David. Thank you, and thanks to everybody on the call.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks again.